You're listening to The Eye of the Time. I'm Pooh.
And I'm William Cooper.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
You want to hang on there for just a couple of minutes?
Yeah.
Okay, why don't you stand right over there?
All right.
And get ready, okay?
All right.
Across America and around the world, you're listening once again to what was named in a presidential memo that Rush Limbaugh read on the air as the most dangerous radio broadcast in the world. Don't go away. We'll be right back with our special guest and the last night of our celebration of the 4th anniversary of the Hour of the Dime.
All of a sudden, in the middle of the night, there's a loud knock on your door. Behind, something's not right.
Throw out your arms. Please step well past the grave. We're here from the government. We're here to help you.
I'm from the IRS with a power to tax. If you've got a complaint, stay with the facts.
Get out of this house. Surrender your guns. Give me your gold. You better obey if you want to come home. Now to the doorstep and do what you're told.
Hillary Salama, Reno Janet Dyke, reading the words of General Albert Parker. The mighty founder of the Ku Klux Klan, engineer of the Masonic Master Plan. I said Lucifer is God across this land. And quit the same, take the mark in your right hand. While we're all dancing to the drums of Buffalo Bright, Clinton's preparing it for another huge tax hike. Order out of chaos, depression, inflation, create the panic and rape the nation.
Order.
Crisis creation. Incite black and white. Program. And you hate the sun. In your right hand. While we're all dancing to the drums of Uproar Bright, Clinton's preparing it for another
huge
Order. Order out of chaos, depression, inflation, create the panic and rape the nation.
Order.
Crisis creation. Incite black and white. Program. And you hate the sun.
Welcome, Anthony Hilder, to the Hour of the Time.
Oh, I forgot about that.
You forgot about it. You're supposed to be the co-host.
Yeah.
Well, let's see if Anthony's on there. Are you there, Anthony?
I'm here, and it's fascinating to find out that you've got a brilliant, not only brilliant, a beautiful co-host.
Well,
sitting right side beside you.
By golly, what do you say about that?
Thank you, Anthony Hilder.
Well, thank you, Pooh. I mean, you're getting brighter every day. There's certainly a new star on the horizon, and that's you. I think you never figured you'd be a talk host, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you did figure you would be?
Yeah.
You did?
Uh-huh.
Oh, my goodness. Well,
who's going to do this broadcast when I retire?
Me.
That's right.
Me and Allison.
And Allison. Well, you're going to have to give Allison a couple of years yet.
Why don't you ask Anthony about that music we just played?
What do you mean?
The music we just played.
Oh. How did you like it, Anthony?
Well, I liked it fine. I did it. Because the real person who is responsible for this is a fellow who works in a studio near Los Angeles. He's the brains behind it. I just did the voices and wrote the song, at least the lyrics to it.
Evan Sweetwater is his name.
That's his name. And a brilliant, brilliant job he did. I'm very much impressed with his brilliance, just like you, Pooh. He thinks things out, and I can't think of a more entertaining introduction to any show at any time than the one that I just heard with you stating the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States and the Republic for which it stands.
Yeah, but, honey, I wanted to sing something to you.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, here it goes. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Daddy. Happy birthday to you.
Who put you up to that?
Mommy did.
She did.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, Sue?
Well, thank you, dear.
Huh?
Daphne and I, last night, got on the phone with Dad and wished him a happy birthday. Not only is it his birthday, but it is the fourth anniversary celebration of the beginning of Hour of the Times.
That's right. Fourth of May, 1992.
I already know that.
Well, you know, if we have patriots like you coming up in the year, and I think, how old are you now?
Who?
Who?
How old are you?
Five.
You got to talk louder, honey.
If you're doing this well at five, I can imagine how you're going to be doing at seven. Boy. And, you know, in answer to your question about how, you know, how did we put this thing together, we used an instrument which allows me to change my voice. It's called the Ordo Abtail. I'll talk like Jimmy Stewart or sometimes like Walter Britton. You know, one of these days we're going to find that man. it's just changing your voice, Pooh, so you can talk like a number of people, and that's exactly what I've tried to do with this particular record, Ordo Abtail.
What do you call that machine, Anthony? Do you know?
I don't really know. It's not my thing. It's Ev's, and he's able to alter and shift, and even the laughter on the record, where I talk about the IRS and send them a fax.
Uh-huh.
Everything is done electronically, and with the exception, of course, Bill Clinton's voice, and we wanted to leave that intact, and we did on the other tune of the New World Order. We left the voice of Adolf Hitler. Just like Bill Clinton intact. And, you know, I think of Adolf Hitler and...
And George Bush.
And George Bush and Bill Clinton is pretty much the, well, not the same person, different people, certainly, but all trying to do the same thing.
Yes.
About a new world order.
Yes, they are. Well, Pud, you want to say goodnight to Anthony so that we can get on with this, get into the meat of the matter?
Yeah.
Can I have a kiss tonight?
Uh-huh.
All right.
Give him a big kiss.
All right.
Yeah, just give him a big smack your lips kiss. Come on, you can
All
go.
All right.
Go ahead. Okay, go put the earphones down. Let's go. We got to do
the
show.
First on-the-air kiss.
All right.
The first kiss I've ever gotten on the air.
Bye.
And I've been broadcasting for about 20 years.
Good.
Or more. Thank you, Pooh.
All right. Good night. And tell Daphne I said hi.
I shall.
All right.
Okay.
Good night.
Good night.
Okay. I'll come tuck you in later. Good night.
So you really got to be proud of her.
Well, yes, I am. Extremely proud. Anthony. You know, we're going to do the other cut that you did on that, along those lines of, about in the center of the broadcast. What have you been up to lately?
Well, I just got back from Atlanta. In fact, I talked about you. Your ears must be burning. In fact, they talked about you at a black bookstore. They sell black cultural product, and, I look up at the shelf and there's, Behold the Pale Horse.
Wow.
And I see your information coming out through this book in bookstores all across America. And to a great surprise to a lot of our listeners, the book has become almost like a cult.
Oh, don't say that word.
Oh, I know.
Don't even say that word on my broadcast. Don't even.
Anyhow, what I'm saying is you become a figure, just bigger than life.
Huh.
Your book has been accepted. It's been read and reread, and one fellow came out to me and he wanted to show me what was in this book called Behold the Pale Horse. And this thing was so worn and tattered and had markers in there and things were underlined and highlighted in various colors. I've never seen a book more ragged than this. And I didn't mean to put you in a cult category.
Yeah, don't even do that. There is no cult here. Nobody camps out in my front yard. And if they do, I'll shoot them.
No, I don't know what I mean, Bill.
Yeah, but unfortunately, the jerk, creepo, scum-sucking pig socialists out there don't know what you mean, and they'll take a copy of this clip and use it against us.
No, we wouldn't want that to happen. But the book is so widely received in the black community and I'm talking about from coast to border to border and coast to coast, that I was really quite surprised to see it almost everywhere. It's like a fixture.
Yeah.
And Jordan Maxwell and I did a piece with Africa Islam and Ice-T.
Oh, really?
Yes. And this just came out, was released in Germany. It's one of these hip-hop things that they're talking about freedom.
Uh-huh.
And still another friend of mine, DST in Brooklyn, is going to put together another piece. And Africa Islam's album is called Bubbleheads, and Jordan Maxwell has done a piece, and I have done a piece where we do a little song, and it's included in this particular release, this CD.
Remarkable.
So I've done that, and then recently on the X-Files in Japan, which is now the number one show over there, they came out here and interviewed me. They sent some 25 journalists over from Japan. And in this particular interview, I was out in the Chikubu Valley with a Polish gal who speaks fluent Japanese. And she asked me what was going on out here. And I said, there is going to be a mock invasion from space. And this is terrestrial rather than extraterrestrial, and they would like to frighten not the hell out of us, but frighten the hell into us.
Yes.
With this event. And we have Independence Day, the film, coming up. And we have the film company up at the Little Alien with the governor of the state of Nevada renaming Highway 375, the extraterrestrial highway. So I'm taking a look at this staged event coming up in the very, very near future. And I think we need to be related to it, and certainly it was an opportunity for me to speak to 60 million people through Asahi Television in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And we did that.
Well, you know, some of the astronauts are now coming out and claiming that that they are extraterrestrials. They're all Freemasons, every one of them.
I guess they are extraterrestrial because they're certainly they're out of space.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. And old Margaret Thatcher, at one of her recently talks, her recent talk said that the most troublesome problem that we have to face in the future is the problem of the ETs. Did you know about that?
Well, listen, Margaret, isn't she a member of the Trilateral Commission?
She's a member of all of that stuff. she's deeply ingrained into the British oligarchic Freemasonic ruling class.
And as I recall, the boys and girls of this evilarchy, as I call it, will be at the base of the pyramid at Giza at the year 2000, waiting for something wonderful to happen. And I think since the last time I talked to you, the Galileo mission has reached the planet Jupiter, and it's in orbit with 49 and a quarter pounds of plutonium.
Yes, and it's already launched its little inert probe into the atmosphere and sent back some stuff, and then all of a sudden they say that they're not getting anything from it. Were you aware of that?
Oh, yes, I was aware of that. Hoagland had talked about the strange things that happened, about the messages supposed to be coming back, and then all of a sudden they don't want the information to come out, so they arrange for the information not to come back.
Sure.
But if we take a look at the book 2010 by Arthur C. Clarke, and I'd like you to go to the library now and pick up a copy of this.
I have it.
Well, I'm not. I know you've got it.
Oh, you're talking to the audience. Okay.
I'm talking to the audience out across the world now. Go to the last chapter. It's called Lucifer Rising. And they talk in the, he talks in the last chapter about a binary star system created from the explosion of Jupiter, and they would rename the planet, which actually is an unexploded star, they would rename the unexploded star, commonly called the planet, Lucifer, and that there would never be a day again without the light of Lucifer, and it would change things for a millennium. And I thought, well, I didn't see this in the film, so I went out to the video store and rented the film. And back into the film, the computer talks about something wonderful is going to happen. And the something wonderful that they say is going to happen is the explosion of Jupiter to give us a binary star system at the turn of the century. And these the individual from this Cassius cartel that will be sitting at the base of the pyramid and looking up in the sky, they will be awaiting the arrival or the light of Lucifer. And I believe that we have an opportunity here by exposing it to stop it.
Well, you know, everybody out there scratching their head and saying, well, what's wrong with this Anthony Hilger character? Because that's a fiction book and that's a fiction movie. But apparently they haven't read...
they didn't read the epilogue.
Well, they didn't read Malachi Martin's book either, Keys to This Blood, where he talks about the fact that the Pope is waiting for an event that will appear in the heavens. He clearly says that this is going to change the world and cause the population of the world to flock back to the Catholic Church with the Pope at the head. And that it will be a fission event, and he describes this great sign that's going to appear in the sky.
But did you say a vision or a fission?
Fission. Fission. That's what an atomic explosion
yes.
Is a fission event.
A fission event?
Yes.
You know, I take a look at the epilogue, man. It's at there is great interest in this project. And he's talking about the Galileo mission.
Mm-hmm.
This is about 5 years before it left, by Dr. Walter Jastrow, Dr. Walter Jastrow of NASA.
Mm-hmm.
That's stated in the epilogue. It's stated at the very end there, and it just flashed out at me as if it was neon. This was 5 years before the Galileo mission took off. Great interest in this project by NASA. If this was fiction, why would they be interested in dealing with something that is reality, that is fact?
Well, I don't know. I can come up with several different reasons why they would be. One is to prophesy the event. Another is to create an aura of expectation and a possibility that it could happen. Whether it's going to happen or not, nobody really knows. Nobody's ever done such a thing. I've talked to quite a few prominent people in the scientific community around the world, not in just this country, but around the world. And some tell me that it's absolutely impossible, could not possibly ignite Jupiter. And others tell me that it is not only possible, but highly probable. And others tell me it's a sure bet.
Well, I think...
But none of them will do it on the record, because it would be the end of their career if they did.
Well, I think it's not only possible, I think it's probable that this is going to happen if we do not incite a revelation around the world. And this particular show, probably more than any other in the world, that includes my own, is giving vision and direction to audiences. But when you get this information, then it is incumbent upon you to utilize it, to network with the information, get it up on your web, get it up on the internet, get it around the world. There's other publications that will pick up bits and pieces from Veritas. You lift a little bit of information here and there, and you start to put all of these very complicated pieces of a humongous political jigsaw puzzle together, and all of a sudden, here comes the big picture. What we must do is incite this revelation, otherwise we will have the hell scared into us by this mock invasion from space. And I had two people who were listeners, and another gal, the Diana gal, and another female companion went up there down the Groom Lake Road, as we had been down there on several occasions, and went up on one of those hills close to where we were doing some shooting before. And these individuals, the three of them, sat on the on this little mound, and they were first interrogated by the WAC and HUD SS. They were asked to see their IDs, and they wanted to search the car for cameras. And they said, well, if nothing's going on out here, why would you be interested in searching the car for cameras? They said, well, we have to do this because you're close to a government facility. He said, well, isn't this BLM land? He says, yep. The fellow said, I've given you fair warning. They all looked at each other, and they were frightened.
Well, that's the whole intent of the thing.
Oh, yes.
In reality, they have no authority, no jurisdiction, no police powers, no anything. And if they draw a gun on you, you're perfectly justified in shooting them right in their tracks, because then they become a bandit.
But these people had no guns, and nothing but their determination to stick it out. And when they did, they heard about 20 minutes later, they camped out there, took a different position with their lawn chairs looking up into the sky, and they heard this sound coming from the Hancock Pass, at the base of the Hancock Pass, at the base of the Tickaboo Mountain. They heard this sound coming, and it was like the sound of the aurora. It was loud, and it shook the ground. It was like an earthquake, but not quite, like a giant freight train, but not quite. like nothing they'd ever heard. And it came actually underneath them, and up towards the base. And they were just completely, totally rattled. Because, you know, in the middle of the night up there, you can hear a pin drop in that desert.
Yes.
There isn't a sound.
I've spent many nights out there in that desert.
Well, I've spent a couple out there with you.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's on your Project Red Light film. But it was right after that, the girl looked up and says, "Oh, my God." And they turned around and they saw this orb. They described it as about 2 foot ball fields across, about 200 yards. And from, this is, 15 to 2,500 feet above the surface of the valley, and I guess the valley would be somewhere in the vicinity of 4,800 feet. And from this came a variety of craft, some 25 craft. And they watched this for an hour and 5 minutes. It was like watching H.G. Wells' War of the Worlds. And I said, well, was it like Close Encounters of the Third Kind? And Michael, who's the gentleman who had seen this, owned some pizza parlors up in Anchorage, says, no, it wasn't. It was not like this, you know, it was far, far, far more spectacular. And I said, why? He said, that was only a movie. This is for real.
Well, at least they think it's for real. It may not have been for real.
Well,
we know that they have...
holograms, of course.
Yeah, we know that they can produce holograms. We've seen them do that. We know that they can also produce a mental hallucination from quite a distance. And I don't know what the technique is, but I have also...
they did take some pictures.
They did?
They did take some pictures. They the girl had hidden a... well, I shouldn't say hidden. She just had a... an Instamatic camera in her belly pack,
uh-huh.
Little things things that go around the stomach, and they didn't search her body. So she had put, there were so many crafts, she just laid it up on top of the car and put the time exposure on. She got a couple of shots, and then one out towards the...
this isn't one of those pictures with just light streaks going around, is it?
No, these were jagged. They were jagged lights.
Unfortunately, pictures like that are absolutely worthless.
Other than to say that that she saw some lights and a number of them for a long period of time, and they were all ready to completely validate that they had seen some sort of mock invasion from space after coming back. And I wanted to get it down on tape, and I had done that and put it into a video called The Panic Project.
Uh-huh. Well, that's interesting. Very interesting.
I believe, Bill, that we can, by getting this information out across the world, that an event is planned to frighten us, out of our belief system, our belief in God, and our belief that we can... remain free and we don't have to give up our sovereignty. I believe we can change this. This program that they've got. When I say they would like to frighten us to give up our sovereignty, they would like to say, well, we cannot exist as free and independent nations unless we surrender our nationality to a global government, because it's going to take a government of the earth unified, with all nations working together as one to defeat this enemy.
Well, that's what I said for many years was going to happen, and I still believe that that's exactly what they're going to do. And, well, that's one of the scenarios they're going to do. I think they have so many different contingencies running to try to ensure the success of their New World Order that it's pretty hard to keep up with these guys, you know.
Well, they've got the crisis creation, and I talked about this with a friend of mine.
They got terrorists blowing up buildings. They've got fomented incidents between black and white, black and Jews, blah, 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 blah.
Well, I see all of the stuff coming out by Moe Sleeves. You know Moe Sleeves at the Southern Poverty Law Center.
Oh, yes, I know that scumbag.
I
don't know him personally, but I know who he is.
Actually, he was when I first met him, he seemed like a pretty nice guy with his wife, Maureen. And I found out that on their 10th anniversary, he had asked his wife, Maureen, to engage in a menage a trois with some guy from the Endowment of the Arts, I think it was.
And he was gay.
Of course. But she didn't participate, so they did something other than suck on lollipops that evening, and she watched and was thoroughly disgusted and divorced Moe Sleeves.
Well, let me make a quick explanation here that these are things that were alleged by parties to the divorce action between Morris Dees and his wife, Maureen.
It's just, you know, it's what you pick up in the facts is around the country. You pick it up from conversation, and this is a man who is demonizing those in talk radio, like yourself. They're in a whole program of demonizing any individual who would speak up and stand out for the United States of America. They want a global government.
Yes, they do.
And Moe Sleeves is at the forefront of this fight to do away, in my opinion, with the sovereignty of the United States by creating demons. By creating bad guys, taking the good guys and making them look like bad guys, then they could get the sympathy of the public when the government would then come in and say, hey, listen, we've got to do something about this terrible guy named Bill Cooper, and let's have a hit on his place and get the support of the population. The same thing would apply to myself. We've got to expose those demonizers for what they are and show to the public what they do.
Yes. Also, we have a complete copy of those divorce papers, and it is also alleged in there that Morris Dees is a child molester.
But that's just the brighter side of Moe Dees. I'm saying serious. It gets worse.
How worse does it get?
when you molest a nation, when you molest the patriots of a nation, you molest the children of the nation. You molest the liberties and the truths of a nation. And when you do this consistently, there must be a plan.
Well, of course there's a plan. I outlined it in my book. I predicted that in the future years that patriots would be labeled terrorists and that patriotism would be considered a psychotic illness in the New World Order. And that certainly has come true. But they have to demonize those who would fight for freedom in order to destroy freedom. They have to get the majority of the American sheeple to say that the people who would fight for freedom for all of us and to try to maintain our freedoms and our country and our protections of our Constitution, that these people are bad so that they can be considered to be politically incorrect, so that eventually their elimination can be justified and the consensus of the vast millions of Americans will agree and support that elimination.
Well, they literally have an anti-patriotic movement. They are literally going against...
They have to in order to realize their plan. They have to destroy patriotism.
Every principle that this country stands for.
Yeah. They have to make things that are right wrong, things that are wrong right. They have to confuse the minds of the American people. They have to make them believe that that they have the perfect freedom and that they'll never lose any of it, and that all of these people who are worried about it and who are preparing to defend it are terrorists, and they are in great danger from these people.
That's exactly what they're trying to do.
Yes.
And
in order to be successful in their plan for world government, they have to do it. It's no surprise to those of us who study their machinations throughout history.
Yes. Well, Bill, I completely concur. And in fact, the phone in the background was Daphne calling, and I don't think there's any way of my connecting you with her, but she's become a believer.
Uh-huh.
So many of people who listen to your show have become believers.
The people who listen to my show aren't believers. They know it because they go out and they prove it.
Well, when somebody believes it, I mean, they know it. When you know it, you believe it. If somebody would like to get one of our Panic Project tapes, maybe I can give that a plug.
Sure.
They could write to Harvester Tapes, H-A-R-V-E-S-T-E-R, Harvester Tapes, and it sells for $33 postpaid. In fact, if you'd like to get a copy, and I know people have been wondering about getting a copy of Ordo Ab Keo and America, A-M-E-R-I-K-A, they could. We'll shove one of those things in there for free. And it's a $10 item. So
now that's the music we played tonight.
The music that you play.
And this music.
And
glad you could make it. Never in human history has so few taken so much from so many as America's Illuminati and their warlords of Wall Street and Washington. In just 8 years, these banksters and international government gangsters took us from the greatest creditor nation to the largest debtor nation on Earth. Our standard of living has dropped like a rock for 4 out of every 5 Americans. They have foreclosed on our homes, our farms, our factories. They've exported your jobs and surrendered our arms.
I just wanted to play enough of it so that everybody could get the gist of what it's all about. Both of these are over 5 minutes long, aren't they?
Well, yes. The one is about 6 minutes long. The New World Order we don't have in a commercial release, but we have the Ordo Ab Keo with America, and I'd be happy to send a free one along with anyone who orders the Panic Project. And our address for that is P.O. Box 1122. That's 1122. P.O. Box 1122, Malibu, California, M-A-L-I-B-U, Malibu, California, and the zip is 90265, and I'll repeat that just one last time. The check would be for $33, it would be for the Panic Project, that's our tape. Runs 2 hours, and it exposes this plan to frighten the hell into us, and it's available from Harvester Tapes for $33, P.O. Box 1122, Malibu, California, 90265. And of course, if you'd like the Ordo Ab Keo tape separately and would not like the Panic Project, well, it would cost you $10 on its own. But I'm just, you know, happy that that you have really introduced it or broken it to people around the world. I have
Well, I think it's fantastic. It fits this broadcast perfectly. I've used it so many times that the second copy you sent me is skipping now.
Uh-oh. Well, I just thank Ev for putting his talent into making it happen. So many of us would be restricted to pretty bland shows were it not for the great talents of individuals like Ev Sweetwater.
Yeah, that's true. But I'm different than most. I hear the same old things on all the other broadcasts, and I won't do that. If somebody sends me something, I'll play it until I hear it on another broadcast, and then I'll never play it again.
Well, I hope that that's not the case. Maybe we'd get somebody in Japan to play the Ortolab KO.
Well, as long as it's in Japan, I don't care. I'm talking about here.
Well, I just want to get the message out all across the country, Bill.
It's what makes this broadcast different. It's not like all the other broadcasts. In fact, this was the first broadcast of its kind to ever be aired anywhere. And I set the tone. I set the music. We set the documentation, the whole works. And then other people began to purchase satellite time and shortwave time and other airtime. And lo and behold, they began to copy exactly what I was doing, right down to the exact music. I introduced Carl Klang to the world. And then when I heard his music on every other broadcast in the world, I quit playing it. Not because I don't like Carl Klang. I love him and I love his music, but because this broadcast has to continue to set the tone.
Well, I hope that other broadcasts do pick up the Ortolab KO tape, and at which time I'll just simply have to make a new one.
Yes, do that.
Specifically for Coop. In fact, at the very last end, at the tail end of the recording, and you may get down to that point sometime, and listen to Coop. You're on it.
Yeah, I think I heard that. I've only played the whole thing through maybe a couple of times quite a while ago, but I think I remember that.
Oh, it says in Turn Into Coop.
Oh, Tune Into Coop. Okay. Yeah, that's right.
No question. It's in there.
Yeah.
I guess that's the maybe the only time you've actually been plugged on a record, or at least your show has been plugged on a record.
That's true. That's very true. Somebody sent me a record a couple of months ago that incorporated into the lyrics of the song was part of a speech that I gave somewhere. I don't even remember where it was. And I was listening to this music, and all of a sudden I heard my voice talking, and it was the strangest thing. It's weird to be surprised like that.
I heard, I just saw a tape. A fellow came by, and I think you know him. Started up the Constitution Party.
Aaron?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Came over, sat in the living room. We sat down and talked for, seeming the hours.
Aaron is a great friend of mine, and he's a wonderful person.
And he came in, so, when I first saw him, I said, well, he's got a television show. I said, well, okay, because he's sort of a cross between... physically, I guess, maybe between...
It's called Mad as Hell.
Yeah, it's called Mad as Hell, but I'm trying to think, between Howard Stern and Billy Graham. I mean, it's sort of a wild... You've got to see Aaron, and you've got to see this show.
I've got a copy. He sent me a tape as soon as he had one.
It is. It's a beautiful production. And the man does a spinoff of Padachevsky's Network.
Yeah.
And the character Howard Beale, who goes into the network's boardroom and gets an understanding of what it's all about. You don't mess with Mother Nature. And that's essentially what you're doing. That's what the network head was saying to Howard when you start attacking the real enemy.
Uh-huh.
And... Aaron, who's won Emmys and had Tonys, I think he's won a Tony and Emmy.
Academy Award.
He's been the producer of The Rose and...
Trading Places.
Places did $100 million on that.
Yeah.
He has it down. He's discovered this whole thing. And he doesn't fit into the ordinary mold. He's not a Christian. He's not the straight conservative. He's just honest.
He's an American who loves freedom. And he's very angry that we're losing it. And he wants to do something about it.
He has a beautiful show. And I recommend people get that tape.
The last part of it was shocking. About the ranch up in the Malibu Mountains.
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
And the guy was just murdered, and they burned down the ranch, and they're still trying to get it away from him.
And, you know, here's a nice guy. He's an older guy, married a younger girl. And they were just trying to live their life, with freedom, enjoyed the outdoors. They weren't doing drugs, weren't doing any of that. They set him up and actually came in and murdered him.
Yeah, and all because the Park Service, the National Park Service, wanted that ranch.
And this is a film that needs to be shown around the country. I don't know if you've got Aaron's address or how one could get that, but maybe in a future broadcast you can inform people how to get this a copy of Mad as Hell.
I will if Aaron tells me it's I don't think it's for sale.
Well, I believe it is for sale now, Bill.
Well, if it is, then I'll sure call him tomorrow and find out because people should see it, and it is a great tape. And Aaron's just a great guy in my book. You can't find a better man, better friend, or a greater fighter for freedom than Aaron Russo.
He's at the top of the line. And if we have this movement become more ecumenical, if we talk to individuals who are black and brown and Jewish and Muslims and
I do every night. My radio audience goes across the whole spectrum of races, religions, ethnic backgrounds, you name it. They're listening to this broadcast. I get letters from those people, and they understand that their common bond is freedom. And without freedom, they cannot be any of the other things that they let get in the way of having freedom.
Well, it crosses all cultures, all creeds, all colors, because freedom has no color. It has no creed. It has no culture.
It has no religion.
It has no religion. But I'm a dualist. I can't really say that because religiously I believe in freedom and freedom is choice. So that's why I am a proponent of a free world federation.
I'm just a proponent of freedom, and they can take all their federations and governments and everything else and use that to protect those who are free and quit interfering in people's lives, and I don't care what else they do, but when they start interfering in their personal lives and the freedoms and restricting people and oppressing them and enslaving them and murdering them, That's when I stand up and take my stand.
When I talk about a federation, I'm talking about I believe that all people of all cultures in all nations must come together not to eliminate or subdue the various ethnic, racial, religious, political nation states, but rather to allow those differences to continue.
The only way you can do that is leave people alone. Forget about federations and world governments and all this other stuff.
But
just leave people alone.
Well, I understand that. We have a group of people in oligarchy who will not leave us alone.
That's right.
So we need to join together from all different colors, all different races, all different creeds, to fight against them, and there is it's something that is beyond the cash is control of our currency. It's something that's beyond politics. There is a spiritual war, and we're fighting a demonic, satanic religion. And that religion operates through masonry. When a statement so bold as, yes, Lucifer is God, is made by Albert Pike, General Albert Pike, who is the author of the Masonic Bible, you know that these people are serious.
Well,
you know that they are demonic.
Yeah, but just for accuracy's sake, they have a Masonic Bible, which is...
I'm talking about morals and dogma here.
I know, but the listening audience doesn't have the slightest clue as to what we're talking about. That's what I'm trying to clear up. That's also referred to as the Masonic Bible, but they have another Bible that they open up and put on their altar, which has the degrees of initiation listed in the front and some of the ceremonies. That is also the Masonic Bible. So I just want to make sure that we're clear so that...
there's a difference, but they're referred to as... well...
You know me, on this broadcast, absolute accuracy. It's got to be accurate.
When I talk about the Masonic Bible, I'm talking about the one that's generally accepted by, even though it's not called the Bible, as the guidebook for most of the Masonic religions. I wanted to say... dimensions. I read another piece the other day about a 99th degree Mason, and it doesn't stop at the 33rd degree, gang. It goes all the way up, and as the further you go up, the further down you go into the depths of hell. It's a degree lower as you get higher.
In degradation and immorality.
Absolutely. There's no question about that. And I'm so proud of you, my friend. We've come a long ways.
Well, we have. And I remember when nobody knew who I was or what I was trying to say, and you were one of the few people in the world that invited me to say what I had to say on your radio broadcast.
Well, we've got to a lot of people. We broadcast from out of Alaska, Eagle 97, sort of at the top of the world, and your message went out all across the state, from Nome, actually all across the way to the Soviet Union. And people were fascinated with this character called Bill Cooper. My God, who is this guy? Where does he come from? What is he doing? Is he for real? And I said, yeah, he's for real. And if you take a look at the back of the book, Behold the Pale Horse, you'll find a statement by a guy named Anthony Hilder who endorses the book, and has endorsed the book and has pushed the book for, well, since you released Fame. And I remember meeting it with you and Annie, I guess pre-Pooh, before Pooh came along at the Bullock's Wilshire.
Yes.
A little restaurant in the Bullock's Wilshire, which has since been closed.
Was you and I and the owner of Sun Radio Network?
Well, it was the owner, not of Sun Radio Network, but the General Broadcasting.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. It was General Broadcasting.
It's General Broadcasting.
Why did I think he was the owner of Sun? But it was General Broadcasting. I remember now, yeah.
And this man has done a great job, and his name is Jerry.
The Sun is no more, is it?
No, Sun is no longer, and General Broadcasting is no longer up and running. But... this American patriot with a very soft voice, that of great determination, decided he wanted to get the message of individuals like myself and Alan Stang and you and others of the same ilk up and running across the country. So we actually went out and bought stations in a number of markets. It allowed us to have a free reign, because when I got on the broadcast up there in Anchorage with those 3 hours were mine, and I handled them in the way that I would like to handle them, and put on who I damned well please as guests, regardless of what station management had to say. And
yeah, well, that's the only way that you can ever do a broadcast and ever tell the truth. The minute that they begin to censor you or tell you who you can have on or what you can say or what you can't say, the truth is gone, and it'll never come back.
Well, I remember one day the manager, I'd taken off on a Charter North up there, which is in some of their activities, and I came on to them heavy. And unbeknownst to me, they were a major sponsor of the station, not my show.
Mm-hmm.
And they dropped $50,000 in advertising.
Wow.
And the station manager went berserk and called up Jerry and said, "Listen, you got to get rid of this guy. He's just cost us $50,000. Jerry said to him,
"Well, you see, that's the wrong way to think, in my estimation. They should have been glad to get rid of somebody who would put a gun to the head of the station in order to tell them what they can air and what they can't air, and they should have gone out and found somebody who had $50,000 worth of advertising or a whole bunch of different people to make it up,
but
who were interested in hearing the truth."
Well, Jerry turned to him and said, "Listen, he said, the reason I bought the station in Anchorage, we had 100,000 watts, the reason I bought the station is to put Anthony Hilder on so he could tell the truth. That's why I bought the station."
Wow.
"Continue. You forget the sponsor."
Well, that's great.
And that took a lot of courage and a lot of guts. A lot of men would say, "Hey, you know."
Well, that's how they control a lot of the media. Is if a paper prints something that some huge, big, gigantic corporate advertiser doesn't like, they go in and say, "Listen, you know, we're going to give you a warning. We don't want you to print this kind of stuff. And if you do, we'll pull our advertising." And lo and behold, they don't print that kind of stuff anymore.
Bill, before we get off at the end of the hour,
actually, we're out of time now.
I just want to wish you a happy birthday, and that I want to congratulate you for doing 4 marvelous years. You have been my friend and my friend's last for life. And I knew that when I took a hit this last, late last summer,
mm-hmm.
There, out of all of the people in the world, there was one guy that stood by me in my hour of, I guess, emotional need, and that guy's name was Bill Cooper. I thank you, buddy.
You're welcome.
Marvelous, and I tried to, you know, people sent me a tape of that particular show, and I have never been able to completely listen to it. I just break up in tears. I just wasn't able to listen to the entirety of the broadcast. Maybe someday I will. The copy I had was pretty ragged. It's it was taken from.
Well, I'll send you a studio copy. How's that?
I would appreciate that, and I can't guarantee that. I'm going to listen to it in its entirety. It breaks me up, and I want you to know that I gave you a plug on Radio Free World tonight, and I do this periodically. It's not often that somebody is going to plug another man's show on their time, but when you're doing free radio, when you are interested in promoting the truth, that truth comes out through many voices.
Yeah. Well, we've got to go, Anthony. We're plumb out of time. We're against the wall. I want to thank you for being our guest tonight. And for all of you out there listening, good night, and God bless you all.
God bless.
All of a sudden, in the middle of the night, there's a loud knock on your door. Thank you.
Something's not right.
Throw out your arms. The deadlock passed through. We're here from the government. We're here to help you.
Come from the IRS with a power to tax. If you've got a complaint, send us a fax.
Get out of this house. Surrender your guns. Give me your gold. You better obey if you want to come home. Dance with your step and do what you're told.
Hillary Shalala, Reno Janet Dyke, reading the words of General Albert Pike, demonic founder of the Ku Klux Klan, engineer of the Masonic.